It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Jessica Tarlov, Joey Jones, Dagan McDowell, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and that hand is Greg's, and this is The Five. Not many people feeling patriotic in Joe Biden's America this 4th of July. And it's really no wonder with an out-of-touch White House telling Americans suffering to just suck it up. According to a new Fox News poll, just 39% of Americans are proud of where the country is today, which is down 12 points from a 2017 and a whopping 30 points since 2011. It marks the first time a majority feels disappointed in this country. And as Americans feel the heat from raging inflation and astronomical gas prices, the White House is doubling down on their deal with it philosophy.
How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes. So Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine. This is a critical, critical position for the world.
Well, what do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
And if people think we're on the wrong track, the White House thinks you just need to be reminded how awesome things really are.
85% of U.S. adults say the country is on the wrong track. 85%. That's up from 68% in March. It appears that increasingly the American people do not approve of what this White House is doing.
Look, these are uncertain times, and when prices are high, people are understandably frustrated. We have and also remind the American people that even as we go through this challenging period, even as we move through this transition, we also have made historic economic progress.
You know, Joey, that guy Deese, the Economic Council director, I mean, when he points to the fact that, you know, the fact that the majority of Americans feel disappointed in the country right now, he says, you know, they just are not looking at how great the economy is. This guy is in charge of the Economic Council for the White House.
You know, if one more person on this network says it's the economy, stupid, I'm going to lose it. Like, I hear it all day on every network. That's where Americans are. And I believe that's true when it comes to our politicians. But when we talk about being disappointed in this country, I think it's cultural. I think the left looks at our country and they see our prosperity as a symbol of oppression. Centuries of oppression. They see the rejection of CRT or the Supreme Court decision on Roe versus Wade, and they say we're still under the thumb. It's the midwives' tale or whatever that's called. The right looks at woke culture.
Whatever.
It's not. The right looks at CRT. They look at woke culture and they see the decay of what makes this country great to them. And to an extent, they're kind of both right. Not that I believe that something like what the left talks about is oppression, but there was before the societal expectation of just presenting yourself and speaking respectfully and making a point without having to glue yourself to something. And the right sees the decay of that as losing what makes us great. So both sides, especially through our political representatives that play into this, see us in a really bad place.
But the question, Dagan, don't you think the question is how they feel about the country today? And 85% of the people think we're headed in the wrong direction, so it's pretty clear how they feel about the country. Is that different from whether or not they love the country?
It does play into it because the country has gone in a horrible direction under Biden Incorporated by any and every metric. It's worse than when Biden took office. Biden was supposed to be like a palate cleanser, like a champagne sorbet. Instead, he's like an old crab cake that you paid $5,000 for. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you're probably going to get food poisoning from it. To Joey's point, though, the liberal default when about being a proud American is not being proud. The default for conservatives historically is you are proud. Mm-hmm. And this bears out in the numbers where among Republicans, the being American pride has fallen by 28 points since 2017 and then 21 points among independents. And that is because of the direction of the country. Like when you say for Republicans, yeah, we're out at Walmart or the Wawa buying a koozie, you know, with proud American
with
on it. And that's right. And for liberals that, you know, that just get, you ask them, oh, are you proud of the United States? And they go, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And all right. So it's still even.
That's what Jessica said in the green room.
Yeah. But, you know, Jessica, when the president says that the Americans should expect to continue to pay these high prices, high gas prices, and I expect the food prices and inflation and everything else until Russia is defeated in Ukraine, what if Russia's never defeated in Ukraine?
Well, that's increasingly what people who used to be in the military and on air are commenting are saying that. I went to a talk recently with Admiral McRaven, and he said, unless we kind of proverbial, you know what, or get off the pot, we're just going to be stuck in this place for a very long time. And the expectation is that, yes, Putin thought originally I can do this in 30 days. Now that he knows that that's not possible, he can wait it out for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I mean, he can just stand there. And yes, we have made bigger moves. I mean, we sent in new missile systems this week that should change the game a little bit, but Putin has nothing but time, and we don't. The messaging on this has been extremely poor. Everybody understands that we are part of a global economy. That's not a hard concept for folks to understand. But when it seems like you don't have a choice in terms of what you are paying for, that's something that rubs people the wrong way. Because I think if you said, oh, we could scale back a little bit or maybe, you know, put a few troops on the ground or build up in Poland, for instance, and get you a dollar off your gas bill, I think that people would say, generally speaking, I want a dollar off my gas bill, since they have tethered those things so closely together, which I actually don't think is the reason that this is happening. On the proud American front, I think Dagan is right that the way that liberals and conservatives talk about patriotism is just fundamentally different. I don't think that it means that we actually love the country any different. This trend did start in 2017. That includes 3 years of the Trump era. This is not just Biden walked into office and suddenly everyone decided that we hate it here. But the way that folks talk about this is important to take into account when evaluating our varying degrees of love for America.
You know, Greg, one of the lines that really concerned me was when the economic council guy, says, you know, the future of the liberal world order is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Did we elect this guy to change the future of the liberal world order, Joe Biden?
It's actually, this is a really big deal. But I'm just so tired of hearing you people talking about where is the pride in America. We just had a full month. We just had a full month of pride, yeah, you guys. Oh, yeah. Wait, that wasn't about being an American. That was about sexual orientation. You can do that for a month. You better do that for a month. Your company better send emails on that for a month. But if you talk about patriotism, that's so old school, old fashioned. What a scary, fast trip from America first to America last. Mm-hmm. That liberal world order phrase used to be something you might hear somebody on infomercials say. InfoWars say. But it actually was said. It was actually said out loud. That one soundbite should be in every commercial for every Republican campaign. You should play that liberal world order blurb to truckers, to parents buying food, to delivery workers, because it's one of the biggest like reveals in political history. They're saying, yeah, you know what? The greater good means the greater global good means your suffering doesn't matter. True, it's very Stalinist. People will die, but you got to break some eggs to make an omelet. Of course, you never see the omelet. All you see are the broken eggs. It's a very honest comment. And we're learning that the administration just isn't that into us being America's. So what is the Democratic Party offering to people? You're either woke or you're broke, right? Woke destroys the internal organs of a country. Everybody's fighting each other. Then you have the New World Order, which is the external breakdown. We're fighting a war thousands of miles away, right? And that trumps our gas prices. We're willing to accept perhaps world famine even. and our own local misery for a war that won't end because both sides, according to both sides, are winning, and we're fueling this war at billions and billions of dollars. And there is a price for everything, including war, which is why Trump had it right, which is you drill, 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 you become energy independent, so international turmoil has no effect on you. But you can't have it both ways. You can't want cheap oil and then go to war against the people that supply the oil. Although it's only 8 or 9%.
It's not a problem for us. It's a European problem.
Yes, but Biden clearly says it's a problem for us, and he's happy.
That's his excuse.
Yes.
But Biden gave them the waiver for Nord Stream and while he shut down the American oil and gas. So, I mean, it's the whole thing is a frightening situation.
Yeah, go ask Texas about the liberal world order.
Yes. You have to understand, that is a gift from heaven.
Yeah.
That they said it.
Yeah.
That they actually came out and said it. Coming up, travel Armageddon is upon us. Thousands of flights getting delayed and canceled ahead of the 4th.
Yay.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
I do get stressed sometimes, especially when the airport looks like this. It's actually pretty packed right now.
If we could just get there. Our flight on American was delayed because of crew, so we're going to miss our connection.
Yeah. Americans are sounding off on the insane delays and cancellations rocking airports everywhere as we head into the July 4th weekend. So far today, more than 440 flights have been canceled. More than 4,500 have been delayed. Airlines struggling thanks to a perfect storm of problems. Bad weather, staff shortages, pilots threatening to strike, and soaring fuel costs. But if you're stressed out, have no fear. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. He's on the case.
Is the July 4th holiday a recipe for disaster given the issues with the system right now?
There are going to be challenges, but we're watching it closely and we're talking to the airlines every day about their responsibility to make sure that they can accommodate any issues that weather or other curveballs might throw at them. A lot of people, including me, are expecting to get to loved ones over this holiday weekend, and we need a system that is resilient enough to get them there, plus good customer service when an issue does come up.
Greg, when this administration uses the word challenge, you know it means hellfire.
Yeah, I just love, I can't get enough of the airport arrival porn. This repetitious, cliched clips of people giving these exasperated quotes at the departing gates and stuff. They should just create stock video every year so we don't have to go to the airports and report on it. Just use the same stuff over and over again. Because, like, it's like we...
Just go to my Twitter account.
Yeah, it's just that's all it is people complain. I enjoy it vicariously when I'm not traveling, so I'm not going anywhere. So I get to sit there and I go... And the thing is, they are there. So it feels like to me that no matter how bad it gets, it never really isn't going to stop you from going anywhere. You're still going to go because as human beings, you believe, well, my flight isn't going to get canceled. Their flight's going to get canceled, you know, and then you show up there. And generally, most of the time, you're right. But this is one of those stories you do in the summertime because, you know, more people are flying. I predict in this show we might do another story on sharks.
Don't give it away.
That's a long tease.
Yes. A judge, it's just simply too much demand, not enough supply.
It's very simple. But you know what? I love Pete Buttigieg because this guy has tremendous opportunities.
Don't waste your time, Judge.
Whether it's a supply chain or whether it's this, to do something. And I wrote down the quote. The guy is talking to the airlines every day. He's watching the airlines, and he wants them to accommodate the flyers. What the hell else are you doing? I mean, really? And that's, you know, during the supply chain, you know, we had the worst supply chain problem ever. He was home with the baby. So, you know, and they want to run him for president. We'll have another Joe Biden. But the guy that I'm impressed with is the Delta CEO. Now, I love Delta. I think Delta's always on time. I have no stock in it. Don't worry about it. This guy says, I apologize. He actually came out, took responsibility, said, I apologize. And then to get people to not fly on the overbooked planes, he said, I'll give you 10 grand. I want to book a flight just to get the 10 grand to cancel it.
That is a true story. I did a deep dive on the 10 grand, and a high-ranking airline like manager and operations service manager has to green light that. But that was a puddle jumper flight from, it was from Grand Rapids, Michigan to somewhere in Minnesota, I think to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And they gave people, they were offering $80,000, 10 grand to eight different people. But just, they started doing that in 2017 when that man was dragged off the plane. So they're afraid that they'll have to drag somebody off the plane involuntarily.
Ah.
So they're giving, who didn't take, what idiot didn't take 10 grand?
If he had a girlfriend there or something.
Ah, dump her.
What?
Dump her. Take the money.
My wife needs me with her. No, she doesn't. Not for 10 grand.
If you're going to a family event or something, I can see people. You have a wedding to get to. But yes, $10,000 should be quite inspirational in terms of turning it over.
In today's dollars, what is that?
$10,000.
Still $10,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, inflation.
80.
Thank you, Joe Biden.
All right.
So,
haven't you already answered the question?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the clock.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the
Detroit weekend.
You time to talk.
Thank you.
I want a burger.
So, Pete Buttigieg, just in defense of when he started, he was on paternity leave and he had a kid on a ventilator. So, that's a very serious thing.
That is.
Okay, thank you. So the administration is kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. So people will say, well, why aren't you saying anything or why are you denying reality? Then he says, like, these things are all going on, and then he's terrible for that, too. Also, these airlines got billions of dollars in bailouts.
That's right.
They need to be able to fix this. I get it. The Delta CEO, smart to be the first one to say that they're sorry, because now the American Airlines guy is like, oh, why didn't I do that? And the United guy is like, why didn't I do that? So 100% get out there, put a face to what's going on and say, I hear you, I see you, I am so sorry about this. Yeah. But also just fix it. You have the money to fix it. Hire people back. The pilot strike. I'm not a pilot trainer. This 32 hours per week when we have surgeons that are operating on no sleep, can we up that? I don't know if it's
unsafe. There's more to the story than that.
You sound very private.
If you're flying 32 hours a week, if you're flying 32 hours a week, if the majority of your off time is somewhere else because you're waiting to get back on a plane, so you might be going 60 hours a week from your home.
But you're not actually flying.
This isn't a problem they can just fix, because you can't just go make more pilots right away. That's part of the problem. But I will tell you this. I live in Atlanta. I fly in and out of Atlanta Airport, where Delta's headquartered. The flight attendants and pilots for Delta are phenomenal, and they watch us. They're watching right now. The management in Delta has had hiccups, I think, in the grand scheme of airlines. I don't know if they're any better or worse, but they kind of got stuck in this problem because of the pandemic. I mean, you have all these pilots that go and retire early. There's all this ambiguity on, are they going to require vaccines? Are they not? Delta did step on it when they started basically charging an insurance premium to those that chose not to get the vaccine. But this is the most important part of this segment, is that nobody makes Kamala Harris look better than Pete Buttigieg. No, I mean, because you talk about crisis after crisis that she screwed up or not been effective on. I mean, look at all the transportation problems we've had, and he wasn't on paternity leave for all of it, and he never has a good answer. And I'll tell you what, if the industry that can make billions on being effective at moving people around, if they can't get it right, what's the government going to do? How are they going to fix it? They're not going to fix it.
Well, they're going to strangle the airlines, because the airlines expect more than $50 billion in a bailout. So that gives you a little bit of
government
control.
That's what they're going to throw money at it. Still going to be trash.
The most important part of this segment is the fact that I'm flying Delta tomorrow morning, and I damn well better get off the ground.
Well, we love Delta.
And
I said it first.
Just one quick thing. It was United that had that incident with the pulling the man off the plane. It wasn't Delta.
Right.
Delta's paying you 10 grand. Up next, Democrats and the media now warning that the planet is in jeopardy in their latest Supreme Court meltdown.
Keep on looking at me that way, that way we can move it along. I can tell.
Liberals are lashing out at the Supreme Court and some even calling to dismantle it altogether over a string of legal setbacks. And after attacking the top court for outrageous behavior while on foreign soil, President Biden continuing to hammer the top court while meeting with the governors of some several deep blue states.
I share the public outrage at this extremist court that's committed to moving America backwards with fewer rights, less autonomy, and politicians invading the most personal decisions that not only women, but we'll find if they expand on this decision, men as well. But as I've said last week, this is not over.
The far left and the media warning the planet is in danger over the court's EPA decision, which limits the government's power to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and returns it to Congress.
Well, the Supreme Court is on an absolute reactionary rampage. I mean, the court is utterly fraudulent, and the only thing that can explain their decisions is what is right-wing Republican dogma.
In the same way that the abortion decision has catastrophic consequences, this decision means that the health and well-being of the entire planet is in jeopardy.
It's devastating. It is yet another example of the court's unwillingness to protect the health and safety of the American people.
When the court says it's up to Congress to address climate change,
they know.
What they are really saying is we don't want climate change addressed.
Yeah. Got to hear from Tubin there. Judge, I want to go to you first on something a little bit more serious than that highlight reel of hypocrisy. Did the Supreme Court overreach in its power, or is it being incredibly consistent and trying to get as much opportunity back to the states as possible?
You know, what amazes me is all the comments that were made, whether it's about Roe or whether it's about the EPA and this decision, they basically are turning everything back to Congress and to the people.
Yes.
And yet the Democrats are saying, you know, this is fraudulent, this is wrong, this is reactionary. They're wrong. Basically, what the United States Supreme Court is saying, whether it's Roe or whether it's in this EPA case, which was a 6-3 case.
Yeah.
I mean, John Roberts was on the case as well. And all they're saying is the EPA lacks broad statutory authority to curb greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. That under the Clean Air Act, Congress did not give the EPA constitutional authority to implement regulations on states to reduce the carbon dioxide pollution by moving away from coal-fired carbon plants to other forms of energy. What the left wants is for the EPA to do all the work to bang, get us from coal to green energy. And the Supreme Court said, no, they don't have that regulatory power. This is something that Congress has to decide. And the amazing part of all of this is they're saying that it's damaging our ability to keep clean air. No, it isn't. Just like the Clean Air Act was an act of Congress, pass another act. This is a democracy.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you're a small business owner that produces anything, you kind of did a little fist pump at this, because no government agency reaches too far into people's pockets than the EPA. They have supreme authority until they don't. Now they don't. Dagan, what do you think about it?
I think this won't stop the EPA. Number one, there's, and it's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, where the EPA is going after the shale oil production in the Permian Basin, saying that these areas, and this is 43% of oil production in the U.S. comes from this area, that this in Texas and New Mexico is in non-attainment with the ozone standards. So that's not going to stop. But I think that the hair pulling and the pearl clutching and the shrieking and the vapors from the left is just a sign of, you know, the world's coming to an end. It's the same thing we saw during the COVID craziness, the Michigas there, the pandemic panic and the scare tactics. Like, fear equals control and control equals power. And they're purely concerned about getting out the vote for the midterms because they see an unmitigated disaster. This is only about their party, their retention of power. It's never about country. It's always about them.
And that highlight reel of progressive grievance, I guess, there's a Senator Schumer statement I want to read because I think it's fantastic. He says, this MAGA regressive extremist Supreme Court is intent on setting America back decades, if not centuries. The extremist MAGA court's ruling today in West West Virginia versus EPA will cause more needless deaths. And I'm just curious, if you're sitting here and they're complaining about Roe versus Wade, you're pro-life, does the idea that reining back the EPA, Jessica, is it going to cause more deaths than, I don't know, abortion does, late-term abortion, or maybe freezing people to death because they can't afford, you know, utilities?
How many late-term abortions actually occur? Just
how many people in America died from pollution last year?
I'm sure that a lot did. We could talk to the people in
Presumptive
Flint.
Cancer, maybe, but that's
who live with illness for the rest of their lives because they didn't have clean water. I mean, all of this isn't invented. And it was, first of all, the EPA invented by a Republican, Richard Nixon, who, did, you know, I know some people say he was, you know, one of the greatest liberals actually in disguise of all time, but I'm pretty sure what his political affiliation was. And he thought that making sure that the federal government played a role in regulating what's going on with climate change, which is man-made, is something that's important. Now, Chuck Schumer also had statements about what's going on with Roe v. Wade being scaled back. And to Dagan's point about this is just about the midterms, yeah, would we love to win the midterms? Sure. But what we would most love is that women all across this country continue to have some degree of bodily autonomy. And we know that in about half the states, within a month, that people will have such severe restrictions placed on them, anywhere from these personhood bills to these heartbeat bills, that there will be questions about whether there are rape and incest exceptions in states like Texas. So, yeah, that's a five-alarm fire. I actually don't think that this was over the top. And it's just kind of insane to me that people pretend on the conservative side that this isn't a wholly political thing. Mitch McConnell held up Merrick Garland for months and months before an election, rammed Amy Coney Barrett through a month to go to the presidential. Everyone has to be approved on the conservative side by the Federalist Society.
We have the Supreme Court we have, and we have it by the rules that the Senate sets and that we govern by. Greg, as more of a libertarian, how does it feel to have a Supreme Court that recognizes federalism?
Well, I mean, the point is, if you're talking about restrictions, there's nothing more restrictive than leaving this decision up to 9 judges. Right? I mean, that's pretty restrictive. I mean, everybody says, oh, we don't want to leave it to these old white men, including some black man and some women. But it's always that same argument, you know, get out of my bedroom, you know, unless they want to tell you what they do in the bedroom. But it's curious to see how the country reacts to this. Will they be as unhinged or apocalyptic? And you're not seeing that right now. How long did the night of rage last? Barely a night. It's not like these Chicken Littles with Clarence Thomas derangement syndrome. Life went on. And I think that's what you're going to find out, is that life will go on. With the Roe v. Wade thing, it enhanced rights for people to actually vote and decide what will happen locally. And if they don't like it, they can move. That's what we said about everything else. That was the whole point. If you don't like a state, you can move to another state. That has been kind of the philosophy. So I do think, and you can't judge a lot of what anybody's saying anymore when they're unhinged all the time.
May I add one quick thing? I don't think people in red states really buy the Ocasio-Cortez is now all of a sudden concerned about women's rights across flyover country.
You all know, right, we gotta go.
The bitter clingers with their guns and Bibles, all those deplorables that the left hated so desperately, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago.
We're in a basket with a baker's dozen. All right, The Fastest is up next, featuring more unhinged leftists gluing themselves to random things. This ain't for everybody. Toes hanging off the ledge. Like we got nothing to lose. You're so golden.
Welcome back. It's time for The Fastest. First up, gluing yourself to things as an act of protest seems to be all the rage. Two climate change activists adhering themselves to a Van Gogh painting in a London museum and forcing the gallery to shut down for the day. Less entertaining than the Italians that you loved so much, Judge, who were thrown off the highway.
Oh, yeah, I love the Italians thrown off the highway. I love the way they threw them off. You know, this is just stupid to me. It's stupid. I mean, I'm going to look at them and say, oh, my gosh, I have to change my mind about climate change. Oh, they're really getting to me. No, they're stupid and they're a pain in the butt.
Leave Van Gogh alone.
Yeah.
He had bipolar disorder and a borderline personality
Didn't
disorder.
Didn't he cut his ear?
Yeah, an alcohol problem, and then he committed suicide. And these two would get their asses kicked if they were anywhere in the United States, even in New York.
Joey, isn't it also just a risk to these great pieces?
Well, I mean, I appreciate art the same way I appreciate bicycles. Neither one served much of a purpose in my life, so I don't have anything against it, but I don't have an appreciation for it. But with that being said, I would just walk up and I would pull their hand off. I don't know. I thought it was French. It might have been Italian. There's a video last week, and there's a man and a woman with their hand glued to the pavement, and the cop just walks up and pulls it.
Ooh.
And he pulls the girl's hand off, and she goes, oh, and then he pulls the guy's hand off, and he just starts rolling and crying. And that's who these people are. There's no better way to be not taken seriously than
Van Gogh or the environment, Greg.
I don't know. I'm looking at this now, and I'm going, maybe that's the future of framing. Yeah, I bet these people have a lot of time on their hands. They probably don't have jobs. They're probably in their early 20s, so their brains aren't fully formed. I bet I could hire them to be just frames, just to be in my house and just hold up a painting like that. How about that?
Why do you think they chose just the frame and not the painting?
That's a good question.
Because they would get sued into oblivion.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Well, they would be criticized.
We have to talk about sharks.
Well, if it's an oil painting, maybe they should have sued it.
Sharks.
Sharks.
If you're going to the beach this weekend, be on the lookout for sharks. Ooh. Scientists issuing that warning to beachgoers so they don't get eaten. But let's keep things in perspective. You are more likely to die from being hit by a champagne cork or having a vending machine fall on top of you. Greg wants to say something about sharks.
Well, they're talking about this isn't just the summer of sharks, right? This is the summer of large sharks, right? So we're going to start fat shaming sharks, right? To reduce attacks. Hey, guys, stop eating bathers. You know how you notice a lot of the overweight male sharks? Because they're wearing the T-shirts.
So how do you defend yourself from a shark?
I don't think you can.
Just throw your legs their way. That's what I do. Snakes, dogs, and sharks. If they come for the legs first, the joke's on them.
Did you bring a gun to the beach?
No.
No.
You hit him in the nose.
Joey brings his guns to the beach.
No.
I bring a gun everywhere I go. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think this is a ploy to get people not to come to Cape Cod.
Yeah.
I think that this was a ploy.
There's a graphic that shows where the sharks go, and they are incredibly close, multiple places
really?
On the East Coast all through the summer. Also, ice creams and shark attacks have the same curve, so there's something there. Maybe we should outlaw ice cream.
It correlates also with flight cancellations.
There you go. We should outlaw
ice cream. So it's weird. It's very eerie how in this certain period of the year you have high temperatures, flight cancellations, ice cream, and sharks.
Thank you.
Ice cream control.
It's fat swimmers that are being attacked by the fat sharks because of the ice cream.
Right.
I hate to end this, but I must.
They're fat. Yes.
Fan Mail Friday is up next. I should have stayed home.
Your questions. The first one from it's not even a name. What is a common food you've never eaten? Me, it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Judge, what food, common food, have you never eaten?
Sauerkraut.
Is that common? I guess that's common.
Hot dogs.
Germany, it's common.
I'll make you some kraut and weenies like my nanny used to make.
Yeah, that was my nickname
in college.
I never
had it.
And you like hot dogs? Yeah, you love them.
Jessica?
A little bit.
I feel like you enthusiastically ate the Thumans.
Yeah, it was good.
What are you talking
because
about?
Because it had hot stuff in it.
There's a show going on, Jessica.
Okay.
I'm having a rapport with my colleagues.
What's common food?
Avocado.
You've never had?
Avocado?
What?
This is part of my texture problem. Like, I don't like mayonnaise. I don't like these mushy...
Avocados are the best.
And I had to give it to the baby. And it's really killing me.
Did the baby like it?
She loves it.
Okay.
Well, I want her to have great, you know, healthy fats and everything. I will continue to give it to her, but
I'm always around to babysit.
Not be a weirdo who admits on national TV that you in adulthood you've never had avocado.
Dagan, what common food?
Gizzards.
That's not common.
Gizzards.
In the South,
it is where we're from.
Have you had chicken livers?
Fried chicken livers are delicious. Gizzards, I've never tried.
I've never had,
isn't a gizzard a lizard? No.
A gizzard's a...
Where are we, Joey? Joey, save...
Listen, when you grow up in my house, you don't get to be a picky eater. You eat what's in front of you. But also, when you grow up poor, you don't get to, buy the delicacy. So I'm sure there's plenty out there. I can't think of anything, but I will tell you this. If I see keto...
You should run for office.
If I see keto on a bag, I throw that stuff away. I don't even let the dogs have it. That's some cult stuff, and I don't partake.
Sure that I've never eaten a banana?
That's not.
Why?
I've had banana bread, but
well, then you've had a banana.
No. I've never peeled a banana. I've never peeled a banana, and I won't.
Count.
It's disgusting.
That doesn't
count. It's perverted.
You
it's perverted. I never
question.
Had a banana. You know what? You know what?
Next question.
Let's go to court. So
yeah,
court.
I'll decide. Yeah, next question.
Oh, this is a good question from C. Wells. What have you changed your mind about over the years? I'm just going to go to you, Joey, and see what kind of political answer you're going to come up with.
What have I changed my mind about? Almost everything. I'm 36 years old. If I don't change my mind on a few things by the time I'm 60, I'm not learning.
See? You see what I mean? He didn't give you a specific.
You are
such a politician. That's two now that you've not answered. Dagan?
Breast implants.
For or against?
I was against, then for, and against, maybe I'll swing back. Maybe the pendulum will go again another direction.
She's using the phrase swing back and pendulum? Very clever. Very clever.
I'm on team four on that one. Anyway.
All right. I'm against. Jessica?
Bell bottoms.
Yes.
That's what I've changed my opinion on. I didn't used to like them, and I like them now.
Yes.
And that's it.
No big issues being a liberal that you've changed.
Oh, I didn't want to talk about that. Well, I mean, there's plenty. I thought we were trying to be like fun on a Friday.
Well, you obviously thought that communism was important, and now you must have changed your mind.
No, I'm even stronger in my support.
A Marxist judge.
I don't know what have I changed my mind about. I don't know. Speeding. I'm not speeding anymore.
Oh, good for you. So you quit the meth. I find that I've changed my mind on so many things about people I never liked, and now I like them. Like Glenn Greenwald, I used to like make fun of him all the time. Now I read him every day. Same with Matt Taibbi. I find that like because the political culture has switched so much.
Liberals that are now conservatives.
The liberals that have left. Yeah. No, the liberals in which the Liberal
like
Party has left.
Yeah,
them.
No. Yeah.
And so everything's flipping, and you're meeting different people.
I do have one for you, Creed.
Oh,
you no longer like them.
No, I like them. I didn't like them for a while. I like them now. I think they're unfairly judged against
Nickelback.
They are no Nickelback.
No.
I still haven't changed my mind on country music. One more thing's up next.
Before we get to one more thing, be sure to tune in to The 5 for our July 4th special. It's so good, it's airing twice, Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and again on Monday at 5 p.m. So don't miss us. Miss it or us. Kick us off, Joey.
All right, listen. So you can celebrate America with Fox News all weekend long as part of our Proud American campaign. Abby Hornacek will be live from the Boston Harbor Fest. On Sunday night at 10 p.m., I'll join Pete Hegseth, Rachel Campos Duffy, and Will Kane for a West Point Independence Day celebration. We will honor the men and women who serve this country, and there will be an epic fireworks display. It doesn't end there because Monday night at 8 p.m., Fox News presents an Independence Day special. Yours truly will be hosting along with my brother Lawrence Jones, Kaylee McEnany, and Carly Shimkus. You can catch the fireworks from Washington, D.C. and Boston, as well as incredible musical performances all night long.
Okay, Greg.
All right. Tonight, another great show. Tom Shalhoub, Kennedy, Jim Florentine, Kat Timpf. That's tonight at 11. Let's keep kicking butt. Let's do this. Greg's How to Spend the 4th of July. You know, it's really hot out here, so you got to do what this cat does. Set it up first, put that right in front, find a nice, comfortable place, spread it all out.
Yeah.
Spread it all out. Look at that, huh? I don't think you're going to find a happier cat than that. It's one of those fan contraptions that we need to see again. Here we go.
Contemplating murder.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
You want me to make
that's
going to
be me in 90 minutes. All right.
Okay, it's my turn. Now, we all love to get pampered, and this little dog, Ellie, is no exception. Ellie Pepe actually stands up whenever she gets her hair blown, and she is as cute as she looks while her owner blows dry her golden locks. Ellie is a multi-poo, and if you want a dog that cooperates when you bathe it, this is one for you. All right, Ellie, that's it. Look, she stands up on her own. She just stands up.
I bet she kills squirrels.
I'll bet she does, bet too.
Can I make
all
a
right,
joke about
multi-code? Don't forget, I want you to hop over to shop.com Fox News. No, to shop.foxnews.com for great deals on your favorite news merchandise, Fox News merchandise. You'll receive 50% off on select items through Tuesday, July 5th. We have coffee mugs, hats, visors, tumblers, T-shirts, everything in between. Come on over here. They're perfect gifts for the Fox fan in your life, and they're all 50% off, and I'm going to wear this home.
Wear it at a Seattle Starbucks.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. All right, Dagan, hit it.
Give me liberty or give me death was Patrick Henry's famous rally and cry to revolution, and you can spend the 4th of July at Patrick Henry's last home and burial place, Red Hill, in my hometown of Brookneal, Virginia. Oh. Massive festivities, including a huge fireworks display, and it's $10 a car. It's fantastic. RedHill.org. Please visit my hometown.
Okay, Jessica.
Okay, so every player on the Stanley Cup winning team gets a chance to have the cup for the day. But when Avalanche captain Gabriel Landeskog's turn came up, things didn't go quite as planned. We have very little time. So basically, it went to his neighbor who walked outside and said, is that the Stanley Cup? And actually, with permission, didn't get to take a picture with it, but got to hold it up, which is a missed opportunity.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.